No one fool hears a good game. Arena Ball.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com.
Welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. This is AFL Tonight, episode number 42. It is also the post-Arena Bowl episode, and most likely to be our last one of the regular season. What is going on? I go away for a couple of days, you know, in the thick of things with Joe and everybody, mining shop over at Arena Bowl in New Orleans. And I get back and I hear that the commish is all set up and decided to leave after a 12-year tenureship as a commissioner of the Arena Football League. This is the biggest stage, you know, the biggest weekend. This is it for the league. You know, the biggest game of the year. And then, bam, you know, all of a sudden he leaves. A couple of things that we're going to look at. A couple of clips from his post-Arena Bowl press conference and a little bit more to talk about, obviously. You know, there was a game this past weekend. Just wanted to give a little nudge to all those people who talked about the game and it being tainted. Hence the song of our opening, soft selling, Tainted Love. But let's just let that pass. Great game. Game is over. And let's just talk about exactly what has happened this past weekend. You know, I really don't know where to start. And we were talking about, you know, we look at, you know, so much to talk about. I think we know there's going to be a lot with the commissioner and whatnot, but I think we're going to go and start specifically with Arena Bowl 22. You know, was the game tainted or possibly fixed? Okay. Yes, I think it all happened and it all started to happen when Philadelphia may have seemed to have gotten that gift in the game versus the New York Dragons, and we know with instant replay. Did the league want Philadelphia to win? I'm sure they did. But then again, you had a perennial powerhouse in San Jose, made a great, great comeback. You know, I mean, even myself, you know, you cannot ever leave an arena football game early. At all. And that's exactly what we said. You know, it ended up being a 3-point game. I mean, if you're anybody who happened to bet the over-under, hopefully you all bet the under. But as far as by line, San Jose did not cover. But it was a great game of, you know, a couple of iffy calls here and there. You know, Mark Grebe getting his first Arena Bowl interception, which cost them. You had the safety in the end zone. You had missed extra points by both teams. Penalties galore. But this was also a very open Arena Bowl. You had full mics on the referees the entire time. Fully open, hearing being able to what they're saying. It gives you an idea of what the referees are thinking during the game. It's not something that you see in the NFL or the CFL. You know, they're not necessarily mic'd as well as that. You know, they usually they'll just flip them on and they'll make the call for the penalty. So there were, I just can't. Philadelphia, yes, they won. Okay, that I understand. Celebrated it was a great game, nonetheless. Great crowd. League promoting it as a sellout. You know, there are more fans there this year than last, according to the official, you know, official numbers. But wow, call it tainted. You know, maybe it was sour grapes on behalf of San Jose fans or conspiracy and this that. I don't know. If a replay had never occurred, I probably would have still be talking about the exact same thing. I really do not think that this game was, like I said, I'm going to say it again. I don't think it was tainted in any way. I really don't. 17,244 fans showed up, and it was this is the way arena football should be, right down to the very last moment. You know, you got Mark Grebe, first it was the highest scoring Arena Bowl first half in Arena Bowl history. You have Mark Grebe, who throws for 299 yards, 8 touchdowns. Matt D'Orazio, 302 yards and 7 touchdowns. Chris Jackson, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns. 2 receivers on San Jose having more than 100 yards receiving. You know, Rodney Wright and Jason Gathers. And Gathers alone had 5 touchdowns. And, you know, Gathers said it alone in the post-game press conference. 5 touchdowns is nice, but he would have given them away in order to win the championship. It's, you know, there many variables could have been. You know, you had great onside kicks. I will admit, watching the game in HD was not the same as being there, but the HD came off fantastic. This was my first year watching it in HD because I was there in person last year. You know, obviously there's nothing better than seeing it in IPHD. I joke around and say that, in person HD, than on regular HD. It's great game. Tainted, everything I think should just be dropped. Everybody look at the way that great game nonetheless. Yes, it happened to be Philadelphia getting the win. San Jose, look how many championships they won over the past year. So it makes you, I don't know, tainted. It's something for us that will be argued throughout the annals of time. Basically forever. Depends on what happens next year. One thing I did not know, we're talking about sellout and whatnot. I actually heard that there were, and this is through our message board, so over at arenafan.com, there were these fans, people, whatever you want to call them, who were sitting in the end seats and had these buttons on them that said SW. And, you know, it's like, whoa, what is SW? Well, they're actually seat warmers. So in order to make it look full on TV. I'm like, when I hear this, I'm like, my God, is this the Oscars? Okay, sort of would make sense. Almost basically everybody is there at the Oscars. How many people did they actually have to hire as seat warmers? You know, they got to go into the game free. I'm sure it would be a little bit of a tick off to fans who actually had purchased seats and paid hard-earned money to go see the game. You know, these are people who wanted to. Seat warmers, it's an interesting concept. I don't even know if it had occurred last year. It makes me wonder, did the league see something within the numbers that made them think of this idea? I hope we were able to get some more information on this, because seat warmers at a championship football game. Very, very interesting. So my thought would be, this game, it was not technically it was sold out, but technically it was not, you know, based on no-shows. And the commissioner in his post-game press conference did talk about, you know, just that, no-shows, whatever their issue was, you know, whether it was the oil slick that happened on the Mississippi, whether it was the weather, whether it was this, that, or that. I don't know. But seat warmers, it's a first, and I've never heard of that. I'm curious to know. I should see what everybody else thinks about that. But on to the biggest bombshell of the weekend was Commissioner David Baker suddenly resigning after 12 years. And it was done after the State of the League address. It was done at the awards gala, or ball, or whatever you want to call it. Rumors abound on why he himself has said specifically that it has to do with family. Wants to be able to see his son play for the Falcons. And he actually did release something to the fans, and it was an open letter to the world's greatest fans. There's been no greater joy in my professional life than to serve the fans of the Arena Football League and AF2. I revere our players, respect our coaches, admire our owners, and I'm grateful for our officials, partners, and dedicated staff. But it is the AFL family of fans that I will miss the most. Dedicated fans like Michelle and John Staples and Brian Gomez, Marshall Surowick, and his dad Warren of the New York Dragons, Brian Fox, Darren Wingman Butler, Captain Soul and Moxie from the champion Philadelphia Soul, and the millions of others from the AFL 17 teams and AF2's 29 teams. Almost like Santa Claus, it felt as though I was lucky enough to know them all, and in many cases, watch the families grow up. There are intensely loyal, supremely dedicated, and incredibly worthy of the AFL's Fans Bill of Rights and its mission statement, to be the most fan-friendly league in the world. So after 12 exciting years of unparalleled AF2 and AFL growth, I am pleased to announce that I am finally getting a promotion. I, too, am just a fan. With great respect and sincere appreciation, C. David Baker. And he goes, P.S. Go Falcons. A total bombshell. There have been talks of why he left. Was it because of the his family? Nobody's going to question that. You know, you say that it's because of family. You want to be closer to your family. Nobody can fault you for that. But there were rumors abound which are unsubstantiated. So, as I said, these are just rumors that from what we had heard. First, was he pushed or forced out? Now, when we heard the rumor, supposedly the vote for single entity ownership did not end up as he had liked, and may have actually been the final, the final nail in the coffin for him saying, you know what, I'm done. This is totally ridiculous. I just heard before doing broadcast tonight that there may have been some health issues with Commissioner Baker. This man is not small by any means. But he's always been, we've always known him as the large man that he is. And, it's not fat. He's just a very large man. It just comes down to what was the real reason why he was forced out. And before we go into, a little bit of his timeline, that was his legacy in the Arena Football League. There are a couple of clips that we want to play from the post game press conference, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
The highest, loftiest position in the Arena Football League. I know this is going to surprise you. Sports readers just got beat out, but it's fan. And I'm going to be a fan.
And that was one that he had mentioned specifically in his letter, open letter to the fans. And I love the sarcasm, and when he talks about just beating out sports writers. You know how commissioners and players really love sports writers sometimes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, he really is... It just sounds he really is going to be enjoying his time off, and maybe just all this crap that he has had to go through recently, maybe he will be able to genuinely he's happy to say, well, I'm happy about this, I'm done, and I will enjoy what I have done over the past 12 years. Here's a second quote that we got from the commission, from the press game, post game press conference.
Is not just a Philadelphia Soul San Jose Sabercat game. It's become an arena football convention. There are Rattler fans here, and there's Rush fans, and there's Rampage fans, and that makes it pretty cool.
And it's true. I've always thought when I heard about the neutral site championship game, to me it is, you know, I never thought of it as a convention, so to speak, but it is a gathering of fans from across not only the U.S. but from across North America. Same thing to go, as I mentioned, with the CFL's Grey Cup. You know, neutral site arena bowls are very, very new, and if it can grow as much as it has for the Super Bowl, as much as it has for the Grey Cup, everybody may not like the neutral site arena bowl, but they always look back on it and say, "I had one hell of a time." But you know, there are others. There are others. I'm the one who was actually very in for the neutral site arena bowl. But here's another tidbit from the press conference.
I just felt it was right time for me. I think it's the right time for the league. I don't know, as Colleen will tell you, I don't know where home is anymore. I'm on an airplane so much, but I know it's time to go home.
It seems that, you know, like we were mentioning before, it all seems about family. See his son play. You know, his other son was actually the red cap I heard for the Arena Bowl broadcast. So, you know, we can't fault him, and you know, we can't fault him in any way. And I think what we chose here specifically as his parting words for Commissioner Baker are going to be very, very fitting.
If they remember me for anything, it would be that I love them back, and I love these athletes, and it's been fun.
And you know, I will admit, Commissioner Baker, I have met you. I met you a few times. I met you in Albany. I met you, if I remember correctly, I did meet you, I think, in Toronto. I do want to say that it was an honor meeting you. Nobody knows what you had to put up specifically with all these owners, and we know some of them can be very egotistical. Some can be very high in themselves. You seem to be able to control the mass hysteria, so to speak. But it was an honor meeting you. I will admit, it's going to be tough. You know, it will be next year, once the 09 season comes about, not hearing Commissioner David Baker is going to be a little bit strange. But again, I want to thank you for everything you've done, sir, for the league. And good luck to you in your future endeavors. Now, Commissioner Baker, you know, had a long list accomplishments during his 12 years. He's always promoted the mission statement and the fans' bill of rights, no matter how much we as fans complain about them when we feel that we're getting the shaft when it comes to certain things. Work with the NFL to amend its bylaws to allow NFL owners to purchase AFL teams. Well, why not, if you can get anywhere between 15 and 20 million. Migrated small market teams to major markets, such as moving the Iowa Barnstormers from Des Moines to New York to become the Dragons. But then on top of that, you can also say alienating fans in Albany by somehow not necessarily having a hand in moving the Firebirds from Albany over to Indianapolis. You know, there is still Grand Rapids, no matter how small market team that is, and it is as the Rampage fans will attest, it is a fantastic market. Created the AF2, the AFL's developmental league, which has 29 teams in secondary markets. Secondary. Just call them, come on. Let's just call them what they are. Let's just call them small markets. Secured television agreements with ESPN, ABC, TNN, NBC, FSN, Comcast, and OLN, that won't work well, that all increase AFL's exposure and total viewership. I think probably one of the better ones is with ESPN right now, and that's, you know, that you have exposure, and that's what the league wanted in particular. Established the first ever neutral site Arena Bowl in Las Vegas. Wasn't attended that well. Mind you, the first Super Bowl was not sold out either, but it's now 4 years running. And speaking of, and that's one of the clips that we were talking about that I didn't get. Arena Bowls. First year Arena Bowl made, where are my notes here? First year Arena Bowl, I think it made less than $200,000 in revenue at the gate. This year at New Orleans, they made $908,000, and he was saying that most likely with the next neutral site Arena Bowl, which will either be Philadelphia, Chicago, or Kansas City, that they will make over $1 million for the first time on the gates. So, it has grown, and it's, you know, it's all about more than one variable for just being a neutral site or Arena Bowl. Under the Baker's leadership, attendance, TV ratings, and merchandise sales have increased in 2008, which was one of the AFL's best ever. Following some highlights, viewership, more people watched Arena Football on ESPN2 in 2008 than 2007. Viewership on AFL games on ESPN2 rose 12%. Total households increased 9%. Viewership in crucial males 18 to 34 demographic increased 24% and 15% in the 18 to 49 demo. On top of that, and we just got this information before we were about to go to broadcast, the numbers did finally come out, and these are the final rating numbers for Arena Bowl 22. Excuse me. Arena Bowl 22 had our overnight final rating of 0.9. It is actually above last year's 0.7. I think it was an increase of, 28%, 29%. Some of the monster numbers, and we saw some of the crazy local numbers when it was Cleveland in the playoffs. Philadelphia, for the game alone, had a 5.3 share. 5.3 rating. San Jose had a 1.3. Now, the San Jose one, I will probably attest to it being the game starting at noon. But a 5.3 is absolutely phenomenal in Philadelphia. I did not know this. It seems like Bon Jovi actually bussed people down from Philadelphia in order to see the Arena Bowl. Now, as long as they had bought a ticket. That's crazy. I want a very partisan crowd for the soul in New Orleans. And I know a lot of fans were cheering specific for them. You know, considering how well San Jose has done over the past years and how many Arena Bowls they've been to and how many times they've been, they're not a team that I can hate. At the very end, I was hoping for San Jose to win. Something just told me Philadelphia was going to win, though. But San Jose is not really a hated team as much as I hated the Detroit Drive. I despised the Detroit Drive. And maybe it's because it was it was such a small league and they were dominating in such a huge fashion. But the ratings in both of those cities are phenomenal. To finish up with a 0.9, I think it just goes to show it's going to top out at probably about a 1 on national TV. It is a lot better rating than it was for the opening game on AFL this year. On ABC this year. But I still attest that to Boston being one of the markets not where the game was not shown. So, either way, you know, it looks like the commission did exactly what he wanted to do. Now the question is, who will be the next commission? That's something that that we will be able to talk about in the next couple of weeks and months, and as the off season has now begun. Ah, unfortunately. Expansion. Now, we mentioned this last week. We don't really know if there's going to be an expansion in 2009. It probably looks like there's going to be some, at least for 2010. But how many teams and what cities, we don't know. But what was really talked about, not only was an exhibition game in Germany talked about, the league signed an agreement with a European company, if I can find it, with a European company to help, I think it's going to help promote the upcoming game. This was a company that specifically helped with the old NFL Europe. It also helped with the World Bowls that were played in Germany. Trying to find out here. Germany's 2+ Marketing Group. 2+ Marketing Group. They're located in Dusseldorf. And entered into an exclusive agreement to explore ways to grow and support the Arena Football League in Germany. We all know, as I said, because I think it's all going to come down to an exhibition game. You know, they were saying that 21 exhibition games have been played. All of them have been sold out. We still at AFL Tonight have still not been able to get the information on you know, where they were, results and whatnot, but we will still try to do that as the off season continues. I would not be surprised, guys. I would not be surprised. December. But the question is, who will be playing on these teams? What will it actually lead to? You know, but besides them, Pittsburgh was talked about quite a bit. Supposedly there were two ownership groups that really impressed. There were two ownership groups at Arena Bowl, but there were one that really stood out. Now, for Pittsburgh, it would be a great natural rivalry right away. Columbus, Cleveland, Philadelphia. Right there, you have a great, you know, it's not the old AFC Central, the NFL, but it could be pretty close. Great natural rivalries right away. With the arena in Pittsburgh to be tentatively scheduled to open up in 2010, that probably would be the only time that the team would be allowed, it would start. But I think, if anything, they should, you know, we've seen teams have been granted before, but then all of a sudden they go by the wayside or never come about. Maybe this might be the time where the team needs to go ahead and start. You know, sort of like what they did with Utah. Go ahead and announce the team. Be able to hire a head coach, hire some personnel, hire marketing, get a staff out there, team name, logo, whatnot, and start pushing it. Because if Pittsburgh were to get a team, even though they are a lot farther away from where I am, I would be more inclined to go ahead and see a new game at the, what are they calling a new arena? You know? No? It's just the Pittsburgh Penguins Arena at the moment? You don't know? Penguins new arena? Yeah, I think it's just Penguins Arena. I think. Now, right now it's Mellon Arena. I think it's just Penguins Arena at the moment. But it will only be ready in 2010. But I think it would, you know, on parts of the league, I think it would be a smart move to go ahead and push, get the new team up and running right away. So Pittsburgh, I mean, a great idea. The other teams, you know, the same exact stuff that we've been hearing the entire time. South Florida now, supposedly 2010, that'll be, Miami area. Louisville is now into the mix, coming over up from AF2. Very, very strong fan base there in Louisville. But we will, you know, we'll see. As I said, this is just news just out there now. For all we know, when we do our next podcast during the off season, that we will see what has transpired, and we will be able to determine and be able to see which teams are going to be in for 2009, if they're going, or if there are going to be any, or if we're gonna just be a year without expansion again. It'd be nice to go ahead and get an 18th team, hopefully, you know, or an odd number, even number of teams. Hopefully, you know, not the case where a team drops out. But, you know, there are rumors of that every year also, and it's something that we will, as I said, we will revisit during the off season. Just want to give a quick shout out for anybody, any of you who have not checked it out already. You can check out our Arena Fan exclusive Radio Row podcasts from Arena Bowl 22 with Adam and Joe and Fran, as they interview names and faces that you know of the league in the unique way that we do here at ArenaFan.com. So check out the Radio Row podcasts. Can do so by heading over to our podcast page and seeing the list of what is currently available. So that's ArenaFan.com exclusive podcasts brought to you by ArenaFan.com. Last thing. You know, we don't have any more games to talk about this year. You know, there is a quick shout out. AF2 playoffs do start this week. If you are starting to get a little bit of a lull about your lack thereof arena football on TV, there, as far as I know, they're still going to be broadcasting the games live on their little, you know, downloadable network. So, you know, just because Arena Bowl is over does not mean that Arena Football is done for the year. We still got our junior circuit, who is just getting into their playoffs and leading up to Arena Cup 2008. Well, I think one of the big things that we wanted to talk about, you know, specifically, it started the talk of the playoffs. It looks like it caused controversy. Obviously, what we're talking about is instant replay for the first time. And it is going to be revisited. I'm sure the Rules and Competition Committee are going to be looking at it. Question is, will it be around for all regular season games next year, or is it just going to be a playoff thing? Will it be limited to ESPN broadcasts? I really don't know how the league's gonna look at this. Obviously, with ESPN, they have enough cameras to be able to cover it. And obviously, with the mistakes that they made, especially in the New York Philadelphia game, not having that specific goal line cam really caused an uproar. But it was corrected, and as far as they never used it. You know, for the first time since instant replay has been around, I think there were three challenges. I think that is actually a record for one game. There are actually three challenges in the Arena Bowl, and it's, you know, like any instant replay, you have to have indisputable evidence, and you know, unfortunately, all the calls went against San Jose. But there are positives and negatives to this, you know, being able to see, to get the calls right, making sure that if it is fumbled or if the ground caused the fumble or when he lost the ball, the league probably needs to expand specifics on what they can or cannot check during the game. I know they set that into place for the playoffs. Should they be getting more than two challenges? Should they get a bonus challenge like they do in the NFL if you get one? I think it's one right or two right. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. What about, you know, the time-wise they were okay. Within the last minute, should everything be reviewable upstairs? I notice now, unlike CFL and the NFL, within 1 minute, you can actually go ahead and do a challenge. Should they all automatically go ahead and should it all be controlled by the truck upstairs? This one, not necessarily, because I think that because you only have two challenges, you're going to try to use them at the most opportune time. And as we've seen, the last minute of the game, considering how long that it lasts, you know, I think it was the last minute of this, of the Arena Bowl lasted 21 minutes. 21 minutes. 60 seconds lasting 21 minutes. But one of those important calls happened in the fourth quarter. So, I'm sure there will be some tweaks to it. Now, the other negative, as I was mentioning before, are the networks. Whoever is going to be the major broadcaster besides ABC and ESPN next year, will they be able to get all the correct angles? If you're doing Jumbotron, it's not going to work, as we are seeing with the Nifty TV for the AF2. Comcast, I'm sure, has the camera angles. I don't know if the local networks do, but I'm sure the league will look at it, and maybe they will do a mandatory amount of cameras that have to be available. You know, even if it's a goal line cam, two or three others. You know, the league will look at it. And should it return? Yes. I think it really should. It's been a long time coming. There have been so many questions about the referees, about this call, that call. It is something that the league, I think, needed to bring back. I hope it's brought back, in for the entire year, but I don't, right now with how we know that the television networks are working, I really don't see it occurring, but, no. You know, the positive and negative to everything. You know, we'll just have to see what the Rules and Competition Committee lets us know about, and then let's see who's going to be carrying the games. You know, which networks that came out so damn late this year. We just got to make sure Fox Sports, Comcast, whichever stations were covering the games. But either way, it has been a fantastic season. That's all I can say. And if it could be as good as last, you know, if we can have a good 09, that's what we're hoping for, obviously. And I don't know. You know, if we're able to get a good 09 as we are in 08, then it will be, the world will be better, or at least for 17 weeks in the Arena Football League world. Funny, take a chance on me. Who's going to be the next commissioner? Nothing like a good ABBA song to brighten up the end of the show. but you know, take a chance on me. Whoever's going to be the next commissioner, I'm sure is going to have a lot to big shoes to fill, so to speak. I don't think anybody can get as big as Commissioner Baker was. But we will be back. We promise you, AFL Night will be back for at least one or two podcasts during the off season. So please check the listings here at arenafan.com. for everybody here at AFL Tonight. I am Tim Capper. Have a great off season. Watch the rebounds off the net. When I dream I'm alone with you, it's
ArenaFan.com, the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.